As I thought about the message today, being Palm Sunday, I'm always saddened to some extent as I read through the events of this week in the Bible. Because while the events of Palm Sunday and the communion meditation that was read kind of introduced that, seemed like such a joyous time, such an incredible time of people welcoming Jesus, if you continue reading, you discover it's only a few days later that they're not so welcoming any longer. In fact, the crowds change from crying, "Hosanna, Lord, save us," to "Crucify him." And I don't know how many of the crowds were the same people, but I have to believe that at least some of them that were yelling, "Hosanna," as Jesus entered Jerusalem, had changed their tune and were then part of that group yelling, "Crucify him." And we can look at that and think, well, that's them. I would never do that. I love Jesus. He's changed my life. He's transformed me. He's done so much for me. I would stick with the Hosanna. But would I? We gather on Sunday morning, and for many of us, this is a regular occurrence that we gather and worship God. We sing praises to God. We honor him. And then Monday comes. Tuesday, Wednesday comes. Are we still shouting Hosanna? Are we still shouting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord"? Is our life proclaiming that to the people that we deal with throughout the week, or is our Hosannas and our Praise the Lords confined to our gatherings on Sunday? This morning I want to bring a message I've entitled, "Offering Our Palms." As Jesus entered Jerusalem, the disciples and the crowds would cut down palm branches and lay on the road as a sign of respect, as a sign of welcome. So they would also take off their cloaks and lay them on the road. And as I think about what we offer God, I want to use that word palms to provide the outline for five things I think that we ought to be offering God, not only when we gather together, but every day that we live. Whatever we do this week, it ought to represent an offering of our palms. Again, not these palms, not the palm branches that were cut down and laid in front of Jesus, but five different elements of life that I believe will change the way we interact with people and the way we represent Jesus. Before I get into those five points, would you spend some time and pray with me? Father, I thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love understands and knows our weaknesses. It knows our strengths. It knows the things that we enjoy. It knows the things that we dislike. And you've created us to not only be your children, but to be your representatives. And Father, as we gather today, as we've sung praises to you, may we offer our palms, not just when we gather here, but every day that we live. May we lift up Jesus so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 19, and eventually we'll cover verses 30 through 48. As we read this story of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem from Luke's account. And I think the first thing that stands out is the idea that we offer our palms when we offer our praise. That kind of became the heart of this crowd, as in verses 37 and 38. He says, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. A welcome fitting for Jesus any day of the week is an offering of praise. But what happens when life becomes difficult? Do we still offer that praise, or is our praise reserved for when things go well? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, we read that, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. If we want to honor Jesus more than just a Sunday morning, put on a good happy face type honoring, we need to learn to offer our praise every day. The writer of Hebrews calls it a sacrifice of praise, an offering of the lips. When we live life and when we deal with people, do the words that we use represent Jesus? Do they convey to others a praise of who God is in our life? I think when we begin to praise God every day, perhaps if we begin to make it a habit, if we've not already done so, to wake up praising God, it forms how we deal with everything else that day. It's one of the reasons why I believe it's so important to have a regular time that you're spending with God. Because if we don't schedule it into our day, it's likely not to happen. And when we start the day praising God, it shapes what happens when we are on our way to work and that person cuts us off in traffic and our blood begins to boil and our flesh reaction is to honk at him or to yell at him even though he can't hear us. But rather than to step back and say, not sure what's going on with him, but praise God that God's with me. So we offer our palms when we offer praise. We also offer our palms when we offer our attitude. Back in Luke, we've heard this already in our communion time. It says in verses 39 and 40, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." What kind of an attitude do we live with? One that offers our praise, or one that kind of grumbles at what others are doing? When we offer our attitudes, we offer ourself in a way that says, God, change me. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, Paul writes and says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, in order to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." We offer our attitude when we allow Jesus to change it. When we look to him to be the one that says who we're living for and how we're living. It's easy. At least I think it is for most people. Maybe it's just me, but it's easy to kind of get into a bad attitude. It doesn't really take all that much. It's those little things that add up throughout the day or throughout the week, and it isn't long before we find ourselves kind of grumbling inwardly. And the difficulty with that is when we begin to grumble inwardly, it isn't long before it comes out. And we become like those religious leaders that rebuke Jesus. And their attitude was one that, don't let them praise you. Tell them to be quiet. And while in some of their mind it may have been, again, their lack of acceptance that Jesus was the Son of God, and they were trying to protect the holiness of God. And as I read the interaction of Jesus with these religious leaders throughout his ministry, I think there's at least as much of it's an element of jealousy. An element of thinking they're the ones that deserve praise. They're the ones that people ought to listen to and look to. It's as if they've been upstaged by Jesus, and it gives them an attitude that, well, wants revenge. And how often do we need to offer our attitudes when we see someone else succeed? And in our heart and our mind, we kind of feel bad because we want what they've gotten. We want to be where they're at. And we grumble. And I believe the message of Palm Sunday says we offer our praise and we offer our attitude so that we can, as Scripture tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice. As we offer our praise, we offer our attitude, we also need to learn to offer our love. Verse 41 in Luke 19 says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. How often do we weep over our community? Is it a regular occurrence, or does it require something catastrophic to happen? I can tell you, I wept over Bowling Green, and that's not the city I live in. It's not the community I was familiar with. But the stories I was hearing broke my heart. And then I began to realize, while we've not experienced that type of destruction, there are very similar stories in the people of South Bend where I live that ought to break my heart. I ought to offer my love in the same way that Jesus offered his love. In fact, in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes and says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. When I begin to live and offer my love to God, it's an offering that extends to the people around me. It becomes that fragrant offering, because I'm living like Jesus. I'm caring about my neighbor, and I'm understanding from the parable of the Good Samaritan that my neighbor is, well, it's everyone. And it really more involves my attitude than it does those around me. And it becomes an attitude of love for people who are in need, for people who are hurting, for people who are experiencing loss. And it doesn't take very long for us to notice that when we open our eyes and ask God to help us see it. One of the things that I really enjoy doing when I have the opportunity, and there's times that I simply make the opportunity, is to prayer walk through the neighborhoods that I live in and asking God to just help me to see what's going on. I've talked about this before, and this idea of paying attention. I may see a broken down car and realize that it's there because somebody probably can't afford to fix it. Windows boarded up that somebody just had to abandon their house. Yard full of little Tykes toys that a family is just doing life. We offer our love when we pay attention to what's going on in the lives of others. And we enter into that with care and concern. But more importantly, we enter into that with the message of the good news of Jesus. And so we offer our palms, when we offer our praise, when we offer our attitude, when we offer our love, but we also offer our palms, when we offer our motives. Jumping down to verses 45 through 48 of Luke 19. This might have a little bit to do with influencing the crowds to go from Hosanna to crucify him. It says, "Then he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, 'My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers.' And every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priest, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words." There were people in the temple area that day that, well, they were there with motives that were not honorable. They were there to take advantage of the people. They were there to make a profit. They were there to do anything but worship God. And Jesus noticed that. And he dealt with it. And so many times we believe that the driving force behind our actions is just between us and us. But God knows. And God's desire is that we would do things in such a way that it represents Jesus well, that it honors him, that it makes the name of Jesus known. Proverbs 16, verses 1 and 2 says, "To man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a person's ways may seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord." When we begin to offer our motives, asking God to purify not only what we do, but why we do it, we begin to live differently. We begin to live in a way that Jesus is more obvious in our life. You see, when my motives aren't right, then my attitude isn't right. And I do things because I ought to do them, but I kind of grumble about it because I really don't want to. And I wonder how many times within the church are our motives not quite what they ought to be? We want people to come because we need more workers. And we forget that we need people to come because they need to hear about Jesus. And we look at this idea that if only this would happen, things would be so much easier. And then Jesus comes along and says, "In this world, you will have trouble." "No, I'm trying to get rid of trouble, Jesus. You kind of missed the whole point. I want my troubles to disappear." And yet Jesus says, you will have trouble, but don't worry, I'll be with you. You see, when we offer our motives, we come to God and say, "Cleanse my heart. Purify my thoughts. Point me in the direction that I ought to go. Walk with me as you've promised." Help me to make Jesus known. Paul writes and he says that he became all things to all people in order that he might win some. His desire, and through all of his troubles and heartaches, and there's times you'll get this list from Paul of everything that he's been through. Well, not everything, but kind of the highlights, or the lowlights is probably more accurate. But all the beatings and shipwrecks and times of hunger and times of doing without. And then he comes and he says, I consider all of this trouble with just light and momentary difficulties in comparison to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. When we offer our motives, we say, God, I'll do what you want because I want to do what you want. Not because I have to, but because I get to. Finally, as we offer our palms on this Palm Sunday and beyond, we offer our praise, our attitude, our love, our motives. We also offer our stuff. That takes us back to the beginning of this section. Luke 19, beginning at verse 30. I always find this fascinating. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell him the Lord needs it. Those that were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked, why are you untying the colt? And they replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. I always, when I read Scripture, like to put myself and try to put my mind in the characters in the story. And I'll read it several times and kind of imagine myself as different characters. And this is one that every time that I put myself in the character position of this man who owned the colt, I keep stopping and saying, so what? Get your own colt. This is mine. But we don't read that. I mean, I know that we don't get the play-by-play description and audio and video and everything of all of these stories, and it's kind of what God knew we needed to know. But the appearance is that when the disciple says the Lord needs it, the guy says, okay. You know, I think I would be calling 911 and getting the cops involved and say, you know, somebody just stole my colt. But what about our stuff today? When the Lord says he needs it, do we offer it? Or are we more selfish than we want to admit? I'll be the first to admit that's probably one of the biggest struggles I have, is letting go of stuff. Some call me a pack rat. I tend to prefer more kinder terms, but I have a tough time getting rid of things. And I'll save them. And I've learned over the years to let them go if I recognize a genuine need. One of my favorite stories, and I like to bring this up to remind my wife and family why I collect things, because they can be useful. A number of years ago now, the camp was building the addition to the dining hall and the nurse's cabin addition, and requiring a lot of work, and part of that work was drainage. And they reached a point that they had put a new drain line in, and the people doing it says, if we only had a manhole cover for this access pit, you know, that would be perfect. And I kind of grinned. I said, I've got one in the trunk of the car. And a number of years before, we had an old well pit at the house that I live in that the well had been replaced before I moved in. And it was on the concrete patio leading up to the back door, and it was all cracked and things. And so I broke that all out, put new concrete in, and this mounting ring and the manhole cover itself was just too good to throw away. And so I threw it in the trunk of the car. It provides weight in the winter, and you know, it was a really nice thing. But the good side of the story is when it was needed, I did offer it, and it's up at the camp at one of their access points in the drainage system. But there are other things that I struggle with offering. My stuff. I see people in need, and I rationalize in my mind why they're in need and why I shouldn't help. And I wonder what would happen if God's children, every one of us, would offer our palms in a way that offers our stuff when God says, I have need of that. I think sometimes I don't trust God to supply my need. And so I think I have to do it myself. God's desire is that we would take the things that he gives us and use it not solely for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. Luke 12. Verse 15 says, then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. We offer our stuff doesn't mean that we walk away with nothing. I've discovered that in my life, the more that I offer to God out of my stuff, the more I seem to have. And God's not, I don't believe, called all of his children to a vow of poverty. He's called us to care for those who live in poverty. And the way we do that is often by offering our stuff. And like all of these things, that's easy to do, or at least easier to do on a Sunday morning than it is to do on a Wednesday afternoon. It's easier for most of us to put some money in an offering plate in church and recognize that we're giving to God than it is to buy a person in need a meal on a Wednesday afternoon that we just happened to cross paths with and recognize that that also can be giving to God. Hosanna, Lord, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We live and we shout and we proclaim loudly at times our love for God. But how quickly does that praise and that shouting and that love fade when the cares of the world creep in? It's my prayer that every one of us would offer our palms to God, not only when we gather on a Sunday morning, but every day that we live. That our communities would be different places because daily we're offering our praise. We're offering our attitude. We're offering our love. We're offering our motives and we're offering our stuff. And we're saying, God, all of that in me and anything else that's in me is yours. Take it and use it. Refine it. Purify it. But make Jesus known through whatever you do in my life. Today, as we come to a time of decision, I believe every time that God's word is presented, that His Spirit calls every one of us to decide something. For some, maybe you've never accepted Christ, you've never had your sins washed away. That's where it all starts. We offer our palms when we offer all of us first. But generally, when we gather on a Sunday morning, the vast majority of people do so because they've already done that. You're here to worship God and to honor Him because you love Him. But perhaps His Spirit has spoken to you throughout this message. And maybe it's all of these five things, but for many of us, it's probably one or two of them that He's saying, let's work on that this week. And He's asking, will you? Will you offer your praise beyond Sunday? Will you offer your attitude and allow Him to replace it with a godly attitude? Will you offer your love not just in words to Him, but in actions to your fellow man? Will you offer your motives and say, God, I've not been doing this for the right reason. It's been a struggle because my heart's not in it. Change me. And will you offer your stuff? All of it. And allow God to change the way He's seen in your life. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to a life that offers our palms, our worship, everything about us to You. And God, as we do that, we realize that there are things in our life that we've held back, that we've not given fully over to You like we ought to. And God, today I pray that every one of us that's hearing these words would not just pay attention to these words that have been spoken, but more importantly, that each one of us would pay attention to the words Your Spirit is speaking to our spirit. And may our offering to You not just be a Sunday morning offering, but may we offer our palms to You every day that we live. May this community be a better place because Jesus is represented in a better way. And Father, in everything that we do, in all of this that we offer to You, may we lift up Jesus. May He be the center, knowing that You've promised as we lift Him up, that You will draw all people to Him. May we do that faithfully in Jesus' name. Amen.